Mother Nature just may be working on Snowmageddon number 2 for our province, with the target this time being Labrador. A woman faces charges after an abduction in the capital city yesterday. RNC got the call around lunchtime following an abduction in the area of Freshwater Road in St. John's. There was an armed robbery in Killigrews overnight. RNC got the call just after 2:30. They say a person carrying a weapon fled the business on foot, called in a police dog, but so far, nobody has been arrested. And the COVID-19 pandemic has highlighted and validated the need to address racism in communities across the country. We'll have these stories and more coming up in your next VOCM News and Information Update in about 13 minutes' time at 8 o'clock. Now, let's take a look at some of the top COVID-19 numbers for, well, at least the Atlantic bubble from over the weekend. New Brunswick, they reported 6 new cases of COVID-19 and 3 possible school exposures on Sunday. Health officials confirmed cases at schools in Hampton and St. John, while teachers, staff, and parents at St. John's Harborview High School have been warned of a possible exposure. After a record-breaking 23 cases were announced on Saturday, New Brunswick now has 77 active cases of COVID-19. Nova Scotia reported 11 new cases of COVID-19 on Sunday. 6 of them are connected to previously reported cases. 5 are under investigation. Health officials say someone also tested positive at a rapid screening pilot program for bar patrons and customers in Halifax. Their test, not included in Sunday's number because the results of their standard test, which is more accurate, have not yet been returned. Nova Scotia now has 44 active cases of COVID-19, and there's a growing list of over 40 possible exposure locations in Halifax. Prince Edward Island did not update their numbers over the weekend. Here in Newfoundland and Labrador, we had 8 new cases, 5 on Saturday, 3 on Sunday. That marks a total of 18 new cases in the last week. Of the 21 active cases in the province, 11 involved 2 clusters, with 6 linked to Bluecrest Cottages in Grandbank and 5 in the Deer Lake area. Health officials say the people who tested positive are self-isolating, contact tracing's underway, and any close contacts have been advised to quarantine. There was some good news, however. There are no patients in hospital due to the virus here in the province after 2 were released over the weekend. Now, on that note, with an increase in COVID-19 cases across the region, there is wide speculation that when Premier Andrew Furey and his team hold their COVID-19 briefing this afternoon, they will announce a closing of the Atlantic bubble or at least some changes. Dr. Lisa Barrett is an assistant professor in the Department of Medicine at Dalhousie. She specializes in infectious disease and immunology. Dr. Barrett joins me live this morning. Dr. Barrett, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. What can you tell our listeners about the situation with COVID in Atlantic Canada?
Well, it's certainly very different than it was about 4 weeks ago. Exactly when that started to change, particularly in New Brunswick and Nova Scotia, is a little less clear. We've had a few more cases than Newfoundland has had. PEI has stayed fairly stably low. Overall, what does all that mean? We know that most of the cases we've had have been from travel, and that in some cases those were very early and recognized, and we were able to contain them quickly. Nova Scotia, we've had some more cases, and in fact, both New Brunswick and Nova Scotia have community spread, meaning that we don't have a link for all of the cases. So certainly not headed in the right direction. Newfoundland certainly is a little further ahead than us in that you don't appear to have community spread at the moment and are doing reasonable amounts of testing. So overall, not unexpected in the face of the fact that everywhere else has a wave two. We are not magic here in Atlantic Canada. We just have been very careful. And I think we need to be very, very diligent at this point about how we go forward.
And now, you did mention that community spread in Nova Scotia and New Brunswick, but is that community spread of any consequence?
All community spread is of consequence. And the reason I say that is that this virus is a little bit different from many other viruses we're used to dealing with. You can have symptoms with this no symptoms with this virus, still be infectious, and you really don't know that you may be infected and spreading for up to 14 days. We're not exactly sure how much time, but it's a longer time than we would like. And that means you can be in contact either with your household folks or people outside in your quote-unquote social bubble, and you're spreading. And eventually, that will make it to some vulnerable people. So anytime there's community spread, I think that's very, very important. If we don't jump on that early, we are behind the curve, and then you're kind of going to have a situation like Manitoba, from nothing to something very quickly.
And is it fair to say the region is still faring way better than the rest of the country?
That is very fair to say, and I'm really rather hoping that we are very, very definitive about our actions in the next couple of weeks to keep it that way. You know, any person who does viral outbreaks anywhere in the world will say, better to be very definitive, very swift, and a little bit extra in your precautions for a short period of time, 2 to 4 weeks in this case, than to wait. After we wait, we're going to have a really difficult time, just like everywhere else, pulling this back under control.
Is this a second wave or just an expected number of cases?
People ask me that a lot. With the world in a second wave, and Canada nibbling at the edges of our borders, except yours, having a second wave. Yeah, it's a second wave. I would very definitively say, at least Nova Scotia, we are into the beginnings of our second wave. Probably New Brunswick as well. PEI and you guys, you may be delayed, but with human beings traveling into and out of your space, coming to and from places that have second waves, it's coming. It'll come. It's just how big it gets will be the question.
Do you think politicians should be giving serious consideration to bursting that Atlantic bubble?
Well, I'm sure they're doing lots of chat about it. And we do know the thing that has worked to keep our case numbers low is a couple of things. We've been very directive about travel, and we've told people they have to quarantine. That's worked pretty well to keep our cases under control. And in certain parts of the Atlantic bubble, there's been additional testing for people who travel for reasons for work. So that's been very helpful. With that said, if you know that travel is the problem, you either have to do one of two things. You stop the travel, or you do a whole lot more testing to make sure the people who come in actually aren't infectious on that day, and you make sure that people are doing what they're supposed to do. If you go from one place to another, you're going to take some time and not be out in public, especially not without a mask. So there's three ways to go there. I'm not certain what way they're going to choose, but either way, we have to be more protective and more diligent in the next 2 to 4 weeks in this region if we're going to keep things under control. And the good news is Atlantic Canadians have a little bit of the control around that. If we do the right things, certainly our risk of spread is much lower. The hand washing, distance, masking, and not doing things that you don't have to do in large groups would be very, very, very helpful right now, even though it's Christmas planning time.
We're speaking with Dr. Lisa Barrett, who specializes in infectious disease and immunology on the VOCM Morning Show. And Dr. Barrett, you grew up here in the province. Will you be personally sorry to see the Atlantic bubble close?
I don't know if they're going to close the Atlantic bubble, but I'm from Old Pearlican. I have no expectation that I'm going to be getting back to Newfoundland for Christmas. Say that with a whole lot of sadness. But it's part of the way I'm approaching COVID living, which is if I don't have to do something this year, even at Christmas, I don't. I'm really paring back my activities and my interactions in general because I know that's the right thing to do at this point. If we all do a little bit, maybe we'll get to have some semblance of a Christmas. So unfortunately, I am not coming to Newfoundland for Christmas, and I would be sad if the Atlantic bubble closed. But I would be sadder to watch the success we've had here in the Atlantic bubble go away. I don't know that that depends on closing the Atlantic bubble. It's going to depend on how everybody does as individuals, how much we bring into the provinces in the next couple of weeks, I think.
And how long do you think we'll have to hold on before a vaccine comes along that will be accessible to many of us?
Yeah. So the government in Canada has put together a vaccine task force. They've made sure that we have access to the top several candidates when they become available and if they pass all of the regulatory requirements to be safe and at least in the clinical trials to appear to work. It's probably going to be late spring before we have any shot of getting it, and some people are saying next summer, but that's very much faster than we might have expected. I'd just say I wouldn't put all my balls into one bucket on the vaccine thing. Let's hope it works in the real world as well as it did in the clinical trials. But it will certainly be helpful to us. Late spring next summer is probably what the federal government folks are thinking would be reasonable.
Dr. Lisa Barrett, assistant professor in the Department of Medicine at Dalhousie University, who specializes in infectious disease and immunology, thank you for joining us on the VOCM Morning Show.
Thank you.